This is the Holland Assets Podcast, where we show you how to start and run your own trucking company. Ever wanted to go out on your own? Follow Chris as he goes through the highs and lows of running on his own authority. Welcome, everybody, to the Holland Assets Podcast, episode number 152. We are talking about March 2024 financials. Hopefully, it's a little better month than February, but we'll see how it looks. I'm your host, Craig. Over there, he's Chris.
Hey, it was a little better.
Oh, is it? We're previewing the numbers already.
Heavy on the little.
All right. So we know we're at least in for something approaching a positive episode. I will remind everybody before we get into it to go to HollandAssetsLLC.com, find us on Facebook, go to MotorCarrierHQ.com, and leave a review for the show if you feel so inclined. We would much appreciate the help in spreading the word about the show. All right. What else do we want to... Oh, Chris, you said something about plastic oil pans. There were a couple of stories. I think we're going to save one for the end, but I demand one now before we get to the numbers.
there are two pretty good stories. The second one is a little longer, so we'll save it to the end, but it's, I'll call it my little adventure. I had a pretty unique thing happen that resulted in a pretty good little adventure a couple weeks ago, getting in the truck.
Oh, nice. Always a treat at this point. If you're going to call it My Little Adventure, then it sounds like this needs to be an animated series for children, or like maybe not quite
we'll
for children.
We'll try to keep the E out this episode.
All right. So what happened with the oil pans?
So I didn't know this, but oil pans on at least, a Detroit engine are now plastic.
Okay.
And I assume this is to shed weight, right? You want the engine, right. You want everything in the truck to weigh as little as possible so you can haul more freight. Well,
does it really weigh that much less than aluminum, I wonder? Anyway, all right.
It's probably cheaper than aluminum. Mm,
true.
And definitely weighs less than steel. But anyway, so we took one of our trucks in to get it serviced. You know, it's PM, preventive maintenance, oil change, all that good stuff. And unbeknownst to us, when the tech, I don't know, I'm assuming when he tightened the plug back up on the oil pan after draining the oil, stripped out the threads.
Oh, great.
And so it wasn't sealing right. And our driver, and this was Shelley, we had a story not too long ago with Shelley about the getting pulled over by the DOT for missing bumper.
Hello again, Shelley.
Yeah, hi, Shelley. So she was driving back. This was probably more than a week after this happened. And she noticed that the truck was leaking a little bit of oil. She wasn't too far away from where the preventive maintenance was done. She took it back to that place and they found that the tech hadn't, they figured out what the problem was. And great to them, they admitted the fault. And this was over a weekend. Getting an oil pan out to that place was going to be difficult to replace. And that's how you had to fix it. You had to replace the oil pan. Mm-hmm. And so we just decided, hey, you've already been driving on it for like a week and a half. Let's just get you home. And then we'll get it fixed on the route. Now you know where this is going, right?
Yeah, if this is a story, I sense that was the wrong decision.
Yeah. 150-ish miles down the road, the plug comes out, dumps all the oil in the truck.
Oh.
Had to get it towed to another service center. Had to have, luckily, this is in the Cheyenne, in Wyoming, not in Cheyenne, but in Wyoming. And Shelley's ex-husband lives in Denver where we could find an oil pan. He was nice enough to
drive it up.
To drive it up.
And wow.
So it ended up costing Shelley about a day, obviously some grief and some costs that I'm pretty sure the service center that did we haven't figured it all out yet. This has just happened within the last few days, is going to own up. They've owned up to it. I'm sure they're going to pay the bill.
Wow. The whole, the tow bill and everything. Yeah. And, that's a heck of a mistake. I mean, stripping threads, that's the thing about plastic, right? Yeah, it's cheaper to replace if something like this happens, but it's a lot more likely to run into that sort of problem.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised how expensive the actual oil pan was. It was with tax and everything, right about $900.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is pretty shocking. I was expecting you when you said you were surprised to say $200 or $300.
I mean, that's probably pretty good margins. Like, I'll bet you it cost $100 to make it.
Oh, please. Yeah. If that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Inject mold plastic, I'm sure is what it is.
Can't be too much.
Yeah. Well, sorry about that, Shelley. And I guess that'll show up on next month's financials, right?
It
will.
Yeah, it was an expensive weekend.
You know,
there was that, a drive tire went out. What else happened?
Actually, here's a question for you, because we are talking about profit and loss statement, money coming in, money going out. How do you categorize when somebody else is footing the bill? So this service center, let's say they pay for all the repairs, the tow bill and all of that. Are they going to reimburse you, or you have them pay the other service provider?
So
how do you account for that?
We paid for the part. It was another location of the same service provider that did the work. So they didn't bill us for the work.
Got it.
But we'll go back to the original location that
made the mistake.
They made the mistake and get reimbursed for the tow bill and the part. Mm. So how that works is I expense it just like I normally would. But when the reimbursement check comes in, instead of categorizing it as revenue, I categorize it essentially as a negative expense.
Oh, okay.
So it just offsets.
So it still goes in the expense category. Yeah. Okay.
It's still going to go under like repairs, but it will be a, money coming into repairs instead of going out. So essentially it'll just be a wash.
Got it. Okay. Well, speaking of profit and loss statements, should we talk about some numbers?
Let's talk numbers.
You said that it was a little bit better than last month. Let's start with the top line, total miles run on all 11 trucks.
All 11 trucks running for the most part. Yeah.
Okay.
They were running. There were some drivers taking a little bit more time off than normal, but,
I'll be honest. I feel like you say that every month. This might be the new normal.
It is kind of, you seem like you've got at least one that's doing that.
Sure. When you've got 11 trucks. Yeah. I mean, vacation times and summer and all of that stuff. It's bound to happen with 11 drivers, right?
Yep.
So, okay. So total miles run on roughly 11 trucks.
130,151.
Okay.
So that's actually a record.
Yeah.
That's the most we've ever done.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Which brought in, or no, sorry, we need to do deadhead miles first.
Deadhead was 7,615. We seem to be like right in the same spot, 5.9%.
5-6%.
Almost right where we were the last couple of months.
Okay. Well, so is that a measure of the more predictable routes you guys are doing as you're bringing on more direct shippers? Do you feel like there's a reason that number is stabilizing?
It's a good question, because I look at we're finding more and more like some of the relationships that we've got where we're not having to deadhead quite as much with our traditional loads, but kind of the way things have been working out, especially the last couple of months, it seems like, when we're getting a brokered load or something that's kind of not in our norm, we've had to go further to get them.
Right.
But I think it kind of averages out.
Okay. All right. So total revenue then on the 130,000 miles came out to what?
$261,567.02.
Okay. So going off of memory, that's good.
Yeah. It's decent. It's not where we need to be, but it's...
So what does that make the rate per mile then that we're looking at for the
201.
That is pretty low.
If you remember from the last financial episode, it was our average for all of last year.
201.
201 was.
Oh, wow.
So it's definitely not where we need to be, but it is what it is.
It's not 2023.
No, it's not.
And so you're sitting here counting your blessings.
Yeah. It's better than it was a lot of last year, but still not where we want to go.
Okay. All right. Well, so a rate per mile of 201. What was the profit then? You said it was a little better than last month, which was what, $2,000-$2,500?
Yeah.
Something like that.
So it was just over 2,000. Mm. And this is just over four. So $4,199.19.
Hey, Chris, that's double. That's 100% more than last month.
Yeah, it is. Like, and that's so kind of funny you mentioned that, because I was thinking about it. I'm like, okay, so we doubled February to March.
Yeah.
If we can double March to April and then double again, April to May, like if we can do that the rest of the year, we're golden. You know, by the end of the year, we'll be making like $1 million profit.
What, how many, so
that's how doubling works.
Isn't there something, yeah, with doubling, you can start with one. And then if you double, I'm trying to remember how many times you have to do it before you have more than the grains of sand on the earth or something like that, where it just, it gets out of control so fast. So yeah, that'd be great if you literally had more money than God.
Yeah. But you know, it was, you know, even if we can double for the next 4 months, you know, that'll still be pretty
good. Oh, that would be huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be massive. So okay.
At least 8,000 next month.
That's the goal. So no more oil pan issues.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully. Well, I'm genuinely fascinated by the idea of the oil pan, and I don't know why. Maybe we'll come back to that one later. Okay. So is there anything we need to pull out from these numbers, lessons learned, interesting things to look at?
There's a few things. Overall, honestly, the profit and loss statement's fairly bland. You know, revenue obviously was up just a little bit. Mm. I think to be profitable, we need to be more in that 280-ish range, so about another 20,000 more than we were.
Right.
You know, that gets us to a much more healthy profit, not just $4,000.
Yeah.
But I'd really, even at the number of trucks that we've got, would really like to get to the point where we're breaking 300,000. Then at that point, it's like starts to be meaningful.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Now, as I'm looking at the numbers, one thing that does pop out is the payroll number. And that makes me think, were there five Fridays in March?
There were. Okay. Yeah. And so I didn't go back and look at this specifically, but my gut tells me that this is the first time we've actually made a profit
on a five payroll
month. Yeah. Okay. Which is, so that's good. I mean, that's a $20,000 swing in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's huge. Okay, good. So other numbers you want to pull out and talk about?
Just a couple other things. There is one category that is either sometimes we don't even have it, and sometimes it's, if we do, it's not much, but it was fairly significant this month, and that's legal and professional services. And most of that was just we paid for our taxes to get done.
Right. Is that something that you guys pay for quarterly, or is this an annual bigger expense?
The way that we do it, it's an annual expense. You know, clients that use tracking assets, that's they get a credit for their tax returns. We actually traditionally, because tracking assets has kind of been overwhelmed with taxes, we've been just using a different accountant to do that. But I think this is the last year we're going to do that. I think we're actually going to have tracking assets do hauling assets accounting or taxes next year, which will be a significant savings. Like tracking assets doesn't charge nearly so much to do taxes.
I assume tracking assets is part of the hauling assets empire.
It is. We don't talk a whole lot about it, but yeah, a little accounting firm that we've got that specializes in bookkeeping and taxes, payroll stuff for, you know, trucking companies, small fleets.
I love the idea of the empire of the and assets, right? So whatever else we can work in, market and assets.
We'll figure something else out, I'm sure.
Speaking of which, I forgot to hawk the upcoming Holland Assets Academy at the beginning of the episode. So I hope people remember.
Yeah, we did a bunch of work for that last week. We're doing a bunch more this week. So it's getting close.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Chris, anything else on the numbers that you want to talk about, or do I get to ask you for a story this week?
Last thing.
Okay.
Fuel was as a percentage of revenue was 31%.
Hey, that's
which not bad. It's kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
Not terrible, but not great.
I will never forget the months of 40% to 45%. Yeah.
Those were rough.
Brutal.
Yeah.
So when you say 30, 31, yeah, that's a little easier to take.
For sure.
But it's not 25. Okay. All right, Chris, what did you call it? My Little Adventure. The new cartoon series by Chris Vernon.
Yep.
All right. So what happened?
So I'm not going to go into who this driver was. It'll make sense. It involves health. And so you always want to, it's a sensitive subject. So one of our drivers a couple weeks ago, He was actually talking with Nate, not feeling well. He hadn't felt well for a couple of days, was just trying to push through. He was kind of in the middle of a trip and was wanting to get home. And so he calls Nate, says, "Hey, I think I'm going to take a little bit of time tomorrow. I'm really not feeling well. I'm going to go to the clinic, see if I can get some medication." Mm. Well, a little bit later that same day, he calls up and says, "I'm really, really not feeling well. I've got to stop for a while." And like shortly after that, it escalates again. "I'm really not feeling well. I'm calling an ambulance."
Whoa.
So I don't know if his wife called the ambulance for him, like made him call, or if he ended up calling. So ambulance comes out.
Yeah.
And his oxygen levels were so low that they said, "We're lifelighting you."
Holy crap.
Yeah. So he's like, he drives with a dog, gets lifelighted, dog gets taken to an animal shelter. We find out, like, this all happens really quite fast.
So where was this?
It was on I-40 right at the border of Texas and New Mexico.
Well, okay. Right. Okay.
So, I kind of keep a throw bag in my car so that when I need to get in a truck, I can just grab it and go.
Yeah.
And so I just grab my throw bag, grab some extra clothes, and I drive, pick up his wife, and she and I drive over the night, Wednesday night,
oh my gosh,
down to the truck. She drops me off at the truck, and then she drives to
the hospital.
The hospital. So I get in the truck like Thursday morning. It was taking a load all the way to Phoenix. So at that point, drive straight from there to Phoenix, get to the receiver 15 minutes before they close.
Oh, I bet they loved that.
Well, all things considered, like, they were pretty happy. Like, we only ended up being like 4 or 5 hours late
on
a load where a driver's 800 plus miles from home.
Right.
And,
Life flighted.
Yeah. So they were actually pretty happy with the whole thing. So I got unloaded that night, same day the load was supposed to deliver. Picked up his next load, which luckily was going to Utah the next morning, and made my way to Utah.
How's he doing?
Good. He's back out on the road.
Of course.
So yeah,
what was it?
It was influenza, but developed into pneumonia and some like lung damage.
Yeah.
And so, he spent a couple days in the ICU and then another day or two in the hospital. Obviously if ambulance gets there and they're like, "Oh, this is serious, you're getting lifelighted." Like, it was pretty serious.
Wow. But
luckily, I mean, he's younger and got over it fairly quick.
Yeah. I remember in 2020 and then especially in 2021, of course, everybody's super concerned about COVID and we all forgot what a killer the flu can be.
Yeah.
Right. And it's still a thing.
It's not a joke. Yeah.
So yeah. Well, glad, and so that's where
that's like
okay.
One of those things, like being sick on the road is
that's fun.
Something most people just don't even understand that truck drivers have to deal with. Yeah. Like, it's like, you can't prevent that from happening. And a lot of times you'll just try to push through and like get home so you can rest. Well, you know, sometimes that may not be the best.
Pushing best through is not an option.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
And well, yeah, hindsight's 20/20. I mean, you never think something like that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, this driver's a great driver and it is, you know, that kind of thing happens and it sucks.
Yeah. I guess the lesson is do your best to pay attention to how serious your illness is out on the road. Yeah. Like you say, you got to push through sometimes, but the worst thing that could happen is you're barreling down the road at 70 miles an hour and then pass out.
Yeah.
Right. So
luckily he was able to get in. There's a welcome center with truck parking right on the border in New Mexico.
Mm. Okay.
That's where he was stopped.
Well, best of luck. All right, Chris. This is a pretty short episode now that I think about it. We're looking at about 20 minutes. I could share a story as well, but I'll do that maybe after the credits, about everybody's favorite subject. And I do mean everybody.
Excel spreadsheets?
I was going to go with the actual literal opposite of Excel spreadsheets. And what's the opposite of Excel spreadsheets? Beer.
There you
so,
go.
So anyway, for everybody else, thanks so much for listening. Let us know if you have any questions about the numbers that you see at HollandAssetsLLC.com. Make sure you are getting hyped for Holland Assets Academy and be sure to go to motorcarrierhq.com for all of the tools and the people that you need to make that jump from employee driver to owner operator and beyond. Right, Chris?
Right.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Stick around if you want for a little beer story.
Sweet. Do you want me to tell my little quick beer story before you get into your beer story?
So bad. Let's hear it.
So I don't drink.
Right. No, you're far too responsible for that.
Well, I don't know about responsible. I don't drink. I do have one experience with beer, though.
Okay.
And my I know my dad listens to this podcast. This
oh, yeah. Here we go. Here
news
we go.
To him. So like confessions of Chris at 45 years old.
He's going to be thrilled.
So this happened when we lived in Panama, when my dad was in the army. You know, I was, you know, 13, 14, probably around the time that this happened. And my friends and I were just out tooling around in the neighborhood where we lived. And we find a unopened can of beer on the hot asphalt.
Oh no.
In Panama.
Oh no. I think this has to be the end of this story. That is terrible.
You know the rest of the story. We cracked it open. My one and only sip of beer, and it was not pleasant.
You know what? That is a good story, because if ever you wanted to scare kids off of alcohol,
that's how to do it.
Give them a 110 degree Corona in a can or whatever it was. Yeah. Oh gosh. Do you remember what it was?
I can't remember. It wasn't a can. Remember it in a can, but I don't know what brand it was.
Good Gordon.
It was probably like the cheapest Panamanian made
macro beer. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's fabulous. That's, yep, that's how you keep kids off the streets. that's pretty good. All right, mine is a little more heartwarming. And this would have been at the end, the beginning of maybe 2022. All right, so it's a couple of years ago. I have a favorite brewery here in Salt Lake City. It's actually one of the best breweries in the country. Just trust me on this. You might not believe it when you think of Utah, but it's amazing. It's called TF Brewing, Templin Family. And it's my home away from home. I go there and work a lot, you know, the way other people use coffee shops, right? I go to this brewery. Anyway, so I'm there with a friend of mine. It's the evening on would have been a Saturday. And they have a barrel room with two parties going on. And my friend and I, kind of the only seating we could find was in the corner of this barrel room. And this is the event I talk about when people say, you know, what's so great about beer? I love this story, just the image of it, because there were two parties. There was one family that was doing a birthday party and another family on the other side of the room that had an engagement party going on. And we sat there for like 3 hours, just sipping, eating, talking and watching these two parties over the course of like 3 hours eventually start to mingle together and everybody's becoming friends. And people would show up, like newcomers from one or the other family, they'd show up and be like, what's going on? Who are all these people? And they're like, these are our new best friends. And it was so heartwarming to watch. I can barely describe how fun it was, how delightful it was to watch these two families who had no idea who the other was, and they're fast friends by the end of the night. So sometimes people ask me, you know, why do you like beer? And I can hold up the glass and say, like, beer is good, but beer as a concept is good.
Bringing people together.
It brought people together. It was the most delightful little experience. So next time you crack one open, don't do it just to get drunk. Do it to make a connection. Go out, enjoy a drink, meet a stranger, and enjoy quote unquote beer that way.
So. But not while you're on the road.
No, not while you're on the road. Well, you're not meeting strangers on the road anyway, so.
And Craig is like an aficionado of beer. I mean, this is coming from a guy that grows his own hops. So.
I don't brew, but I do grow my own hops.
Well, you don't need to tell people that.
That's true.
We'll have to, one of these days, when the hops, your hops gets a little bigger this summer, we'll need to take a picture and share it on social media. He's built this pretty cool archway that I get to walk through every time I come to the studio that's pretty sweet. So we'll remind me, we'll take a picture of it in the summer.
All right.
When the hops are in full.
About August or so, we'll get a picture of that. All right. Well, Chris, thanks for coming in. I'll see you next time.
See you.